الحمد لله الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، as to what proceeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, separated from His creation in a manner which befits His Majesty, states in His noble book, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. The month of Ramadan is that in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for the people and clear proofs of guidance and criterion. Surah Al-Baqarah, ayah number 175. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as reported by the noble companion Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, states that he said, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِذَا دَخَلَ رَمَضَانَ فُتِّحَتْ أَبْوَابُ الْجَنَّةِ وَغُلِّقَتْ أَبْوَابُ جَهَنَّةِ وَرَسُولُ سِدَةُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when the month of Ramadan commences, the doors of Jannah are opened, the doors of hellfire are closed, and the devils are changed. This hadith is hadith on Sahih. But the question is, my brothers and sisters, many of us have heard this narration, but how do we understand this narration of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We are coming to the end of the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan is a month of blessings and mercy and forgiveness. The month of Ramadan is the best of all months. And the last 10 days, in general, especially the odd nights, are considered to be the most sacred nights of the month of Ramadan. So I noticed that many brothers and sisters, they quote this narration on the radio stations, on WhatsApp, on Facebook, and all the other social media which is available. But how do we understand this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Meaning fiqh al-hadith. How do we understand the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as explained, as they were addressed to the messenger, to the companions of Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in, and understood by the companions of Ridwanullahi alayhi majma'in? So with regards to such narrations, we find that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned three things. He mentioned that the doors of paradise are open, the doors of hellfire are closed, and the devils are chained. But we still find that in the month of Ramadan, many Muslims still are under the influence of the shayateen. So how do we understand this? When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that they are chained, but we still find many Muslims doing acts against what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in this hadith. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the manhaj of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, with regards to understanding the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is clear. Now the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are eloquent, and the intended literal meaning is taken unless there is other proof to state otherwise. We do not refer to any other interpretation other than what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the devils are chained, we believe that the devils are chained. You find a lot of Muslims today that the fitna amongst them is the fitna of the word of interpretation. They will say to you, well, this is his interpretation, this is my interpretation, there is a difference of interpretation. So everybody has their own interpretation. And everybody wants to interpret the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam based upon how they see fit or based upon their desires. And this is a grave error, a major error amongst the Muslims. So the qa'ida muttarida in the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that we take the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their literal meaning if that is what was intended by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the first. Al-Dhahir. The second is that who else can explain his words than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. And one of the best ways of explaining the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is through the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. So this hadith, which has been reported in Sahih, we find that there is another narration reported by Imam An-Nasa'i in his Sunan, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained what he meant by wasusila dushya. And the wordings which have been used are marada dushyati, meaning that the devils in the month of Ramadan, they do not become active, they lose all their energy. They lose all their energy and enthusiasm to deviate and whisper amongst the Muslims. And the word which has been used is tughallu fi Ramadan, that they are prevented from spreading their evil and corruption to the Muslims. And this is all due to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this was the understanding which was taken by Imam Ibn Hibban and other great scholars. And like I mentioned to you, this is what the Prophet ﷺ meant when he said, Sulsila Dushya. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, Imam of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, he was asked by his son with regards to this narration. He said to his father, he said, Qaddara al-Majnoon Yusra fi Shahri Ramadan. His son is asking his father, that the Prophet ﷺ said, the devils are chained. But we see in the month of Ramadan, we even see the mental person is afflicted and affected by the devil and continues doing his evil acts, a mental person. But what did Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal respond back? He said, هَكَذَا جَاءَ فِي الْحَدِيثِ. This is how it has come in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. وَسُوْسِلَةُ الشِّيَاطِينَ. The devils are chained. So we believe that the devils are chained. And his son says, وَلَا تَكَلَّمَ فِي ذَلِكَ. He didn't come with these interpretations. I hear this word a lot in the month of Ramadan. Interpretation, interpretation, interpretation. Every single person is giving his own interpretation. And Imam Ahmad is saying, this is how it has come in the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is how we take it. Ibn Mulaqqim, one of the great scholars, a teacher of Hafiz ibn Hajar, in his Sharh of Sahih al-Bukhari, and this hadith has been narrated in Bukhari, in Tawdhi', he mentions and he says, when he explains this hadith, وَسُلْسِلَةُ الشِّيَاطِينِ. He says, that what is meant when the Prophet ﷺ says, وَسُلْسِلَةُ الشِّيَاطِينِ, is that their harm is decreased and their whispering becomes extinct. Very little. And what is upon us with regards to this narration is al-taslimu wa taslim. We submit and we believe in it. So with regards to this narration, I want you to bring attention to this narration that the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are to be taken in their literal sense, and they are to be understood as they were understood by the Sahaba and the Salafus Salih of this ummah. Me and you do not have the right to say that what it means is it should be interpreted like this, or so and so interpreted it like this, and so and so says this. This is your opinion, this is my opinion, this is your understanding, this is my understanding. Everybody is open to interpretation. As Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, the Imam who memorized over 1 million narrations, said, "Hakadha ja'a fil hadith." That was the first issue with regards to understanding some of the narrations which have been reported with regards to the virtues of the month of Ramadan. The second issue which I would like to address the Muslim congregation is, we hear the word hadith and sunnah. Hadith, this is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what does the word hadith and sunnah mean? The word hadith or sunnah are synonymous. They have the exact same meaning. There is no difference between a hadith and a sunnah. This is al-madhab al-mukhtar in the Ahlul Hadith. This is what the Ahlul Hadith, they say. That there is no difference between a hadith and a sunnah. They are synonymous, but they are used in a different context. Just like Islam and Iman. إذا اجتمع افترق وإذا افترق اجتمع. Respected brothers and sisters, hadith and sunnah means the statements, the actions, and the tacit approvals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did ala sabil al-ta'abbud, on the basis of ibadah, which have not been mentioned in the Quran. Those actions or statements or approvals, tacit approvals of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he did on the basis of ibadah, which have not been mentioned in the Quran. This is a simple definition for the word hadith and sunnah. So after knowing this issue, what is the meaning of hadith and sunnah? We come to the third issue, which is the most important, which is a very important issue, which is the crime of lying against the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A great crime. Salamah ibn al-Aqwa radiyallahu anhu narrates on the authority of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari, and it is from the Thulathiyat of al-Bukhari, meaning the shortest chain of Bukhari. And between Bukhari and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the shortest chain is of 3 people. A gap of 3 people between Imam Bukhari and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the shortest chain that Imam Bukhari has in his Sahih, known as the Thulathiyat. Imam Bukhari narrates in his Sahih that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "من تقول علي ما لم أقل فليتبوأ مقعده من النار." But whoever ascribes a statement towards me that which I did not say, then let that person take his seat in the hellfire. A place, that person who narrates something that I said and I did not say, let him go and take his seat in the hellfire. And this is the Da'matul Kubra here in the West. In the month of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan starts and your WhatsApp starts clicking. Messages after messages after messages after messages. And in there, you find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And you read this statement and you say, wow, The Prophet said, let me send it to another 100 people. And then those people send it to another 100 people. And then those 100 people send it to another 100 people. And it is arrived, it's the Prophet of Allah, it's the Prophet of Allah. And there is no excuse for anybody to say that I am ignorant, as Imam Ibn Hibban mentioned, that this is applicable to all, scholars as well as normal people. You cannot narrate a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without knowing and verifying its authenticity. And this is what WhatsApp has done. And believe me, I have been following a lot of messages that have been spread in the month of Ramadan on WhatsApp and the other social media, and most of the information and the data or the knowledge that is spread is incorrect, inaccurate, weak and fabricated. And that includes the statements that have been ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in another authentic hadith, he said, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من والده وولده والناس أجمعين. None of you can truly be a true believer, have complete iman, until I am more beloved to him than his father, his son, and the whole of mankind. You have to love the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than you love your son, more than you love your father, and the whole of mankind. This is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. And this is a very delicate and sensitive issue, that we send messages without verifying them and without knowing the accuracy. And when it comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we take things lightly. Anybody that says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, we believe it to be authentic without verifying or checking its sources. And this has spread like a cancer amongst the people. So that which is obligatory upon us is to refer back to the experts, the people of knowledge, and to verify that this statement that which we are circulating is truly a statement which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. If we don't do that, then we have to take a seat in the hellfire. وَلِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Allah's refuge is sought from such a destination. الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In order for you to circulate an authentic hadith, a sahih hadith, you need to know what is a sahih hadith. What's a sahih hadith? The Ahlul Ilm, when they define a sahih hadith, they say that a sahih hadith, in order for a hadith to be classified as being sahih, there are five conditions. If these five conditions are met, then the hadith is considered to be sahih. If not, then it will take a different one. What are these five conditions? The first condition is that this hadith, which consists of two parts, a sanad, a chain, and a matan, the text. The sanad of the isnad, which is the chain, must be a continuous and connected chain from the one who narrates that goes back to the Prophet, which is known as ittisal sanad. The second condition is that all the people have to be trustworthy. Adul, adala is established. That there is nobody whose trustworthiness has been challenged or disputed amongst the scholars. Number three, that the narrators who narrate this hadith must be complete and precise in their memory and collection. They must have they must be mu'tamad fi dhabtihi wa naqlihi. They must be precise in what they narrate. They must be precise in what they have memorized and collected. Fourth, the hadith must be free from any type of irregularity, shudud. It doesn't go against any of the principles of the deen. And fifth, you should be clear from any obvious defects, any illah that can be found, which has been pointed out by the scholars. When these five conditions are met, then a hadith is classified as being sahih. People think that just to call a hadith sahih just like that. Look at these five conditions, and ulama have devoted their whole life in trying to separate those narrations which are sahih and da'if, and someone like me and you comes in and what's up and starts spreading everything as though it is hadith and sahih. And it's a fabricated narration. So how is a hadith determined to be sahih? We know the five conditions. Either that hadith is collected in a book which has only sahih narrations, like Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Or the hadith is declared to be sahih by an expert. And in amongst our times, somebody who is regarded to be an expert and famous, Sheikh Muhammad Nasiruddin Albani, rahimahullah ta'ala. Thirdly, all the narrations that can be found with regards to that topic are gathered together, and the experts will make a case study, which is known as takhrij, and then will give you the khulasa and say, this hadith is sahih. So this is with regards to knowing a hadith which is sahih. The next issue is, what is a weak hadith? Now we know what is a sahih hadith, you need to know a weak hadith. A weak hadith, as the scholars, such as Ibn Salah, Ibn Kathir, Al-Jurjani, Al-Hanafi have said, every single hadith that does not have the same attributes and conditions of a hadith, sahih or hasan, they do not fulfill these conditions, they are known as a hadith which is weak. If it does not fulfill the conditions of a sahih hadith or a hasan hadith is a level below sahih, but it is accepted. That narration is known as a weak hadith. The sixth issue is acting upon a weak hadith. This is a controversy which amongst the people always discuss. They say, you know, you can act upon weak narrations. With regards to acting upon weak narrations, and then people use the argument, oh, I'm circulating this hadith, but it's weak. It's okay. It's only weak. The ulama of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, the imams of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, they unanimously agree that weak narrations cannot be used and are rejected in the Baba Baqiyah. The ulama of Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah and the fuqaha also agree the weak narrations cannot be acted in the Bab of Ahkam, on rules. But there is a difference of opinion with regards to Fadali Amal, and this is what is used to propagate and promote weak narrations. That acting upon weak narrations in Fadail, in Tafsir, in Maghazi, and in Siyar, then there are two opinions with regards to this, and I will give you both the opinions. The first opinion is that a group of scholars have said that it is permissible to act upon weak hadith but with conditions. And listen to these conditions. If you look at these conditions, at the end when you apply these conditions, you will not be able to act upon weak hadith. The first thing they say is that the weakness of this narration is not severe. Dha'f is ghair shadid. The second that they say is that this narration can be found under a general principle which backs and strengthens this weak hadith. For example, fasting in the month of Ramadan, 30 days, is established from the Quran and authentic hadith. There might be a weak hadith which also says that fasting in the month of Ramadan for 30 days. Thirdly, the person who is acting upon this weak hadith does not believe it to be the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That it is established from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he takes precautions, so he doesn't believe it to be the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you apply these three conditions, most of the weak narrations will be nullified. The second group of scholars, which is the al-madhab al-mukhtar, is you cannot act upon weak narrations under any circumstance, whether it's fadail, ahkam, aqeedah. And this is the opinion of Imam Abu Hatim al-Razi, Imam Abu Zur'a al-Razi, Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, Nadir Hussain Dahlawi, and the other great scholars. And lastly, before we finish with the khutbah, after knowing what hadith and sunnah means, after knowing what the sahih hadith is, what the da'if hadith is, and knowing the opinions of the scholars, that which is the most correct opinion is that weak hadiths are not to be acted upon. And those who say that you can act upon it, say you can't say that they are the words of the Prophet. But nobody tells us this. How many people act upon weak hadiths knowing that these conditions, and they say and they believe that they are not the words of the Prophet? I'm going to quote you three narrations which are famous amongst the people, which they quote, which are weak. And you always hear this every single day when I switch on the radio. I hear some radio presenter quoting this hadith. And that is the hadith which says that the Prophet ﷺ said that the month of Ramadan is divided into three parts. 10 days. أَوَّلُ شَهْرَ رَمَضَانَ رَحْمَةً. The first 10 days are the days of Rahmah. وَأَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرَةً. The second 10 days are the days of Maghfirah. وَآخِرُ غَيْتُمْ مِنَ النَّارِ. And the last 10 days is that they free you from the hellfire. This hadith is quoted amongst the people everywhere. In the manabir of the masajid. This hadith has been narrated by Muslim Ad-Daymi and others. And it is a hadith which is munkar, rejected, because of Salman ibn Sulaiman ibn Siwara, some of the scholars have pointed out. Cannot be attributed to the Prophet. The Prophet said in another hadith, as they say, another weak hadith, Sumu tasahhu, fast, and you will be in good health. Meaning that the result of fasting is that you will gain good health. This has been reported by At-Tabrani in his Awsat. And this hadith is also weak. There's another hadith which says that the sleep of a fasting person is ibadah. No musa'imu ibadah. Wasamtuhu tasbih. His silence is tasbih. Wa amaluhu mudha'af. His deeds are multiplied. Wa du'a'uhu mustajab. And his dua is accepted. Wa dhanbuhu maghfur. And his sins are forgiven. This is another narration which is widespread amongst the people and the corpus. And even the sleeping of a person who is fasting is ibadah. That even his silence is tasbih. And this is spread amongst the people. So my brothers and sisters, be aware. Know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever ascribes to me something which I did not say, let him take his seat in the heaven. And next time before you send a message, with regards to what the Prophet said, whether it be in the month of Ramadan or any other month, think and clarify and refer back to the people of knowledge. People of knowledge are present who will be able to tell you. As they say that Bukhari, he saw a dream and that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is sitting. And Bukhari has a hand fan. You know the fans which you get? Marwah with the hand. And there is flies coming towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Bukhari is getting his hand fan and he's waving it towards the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so none of the flies come towards him. So when Imam al-Bukhari woke up, he asked those who interpret dreams, what is the meaning of this dream? He said, the meaning of this dream is that you will separate the weak narrations from the authentic narrations. And that's when after that you don't say Sahih al-Bukhari. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Aqimu bis-salah.